Hey everybody, it's Brian. Before I did this Seahawks stuff full-time, I worked as a manager and senior leader, so I know how lonely it can be to try to find someone you trust to talk through people issues, org issues, process issues as you try to lead an organization. Ryan Cleveland of RyanCleveland.com is someone I trust to have those conversations with. He specializes in working with CEOs and business owners, and you can get a complimentary free discovery session to see if it's a good fit for you. Just go to RyanCleveland.com to sign up and start now.
Shit. Oh my god. Hold up, bring these boys on. We had some technical difficulties last second. So we had to leverage Jeff's Canadian internet for that. I apologize, folks.
Hello everybody. Welcome to the Real Hawk Talk Postgame Show. I'm Brian Nemhauser. I'm standing here on Levi Stadium Field as your Seattle Seahawks have won the NFC West, the number one seed in the NFC, have won more games than they've ever won in franchise history, more road games than they've ever won in franchise history, and Mike McDonald's second season. And your Seahawks have two games at home before they get to come right back here to finish it off in the exact same spot. And boys, bring on everybody else who's waiting on stage if you can. I've just got so much gratitude and love in my heart for everybody that's been with us this whole way. I'll stop talking. I just, it's so much more meaningful for you to be doing a crab dance after a game like this and a moment like this than all the shit we've been putting up with for the last decade. All right. Come on, folks. Tell me how you're feeling. You're all about an inch tall to me on this screen. So Evan, you kind of guide us here.
What did I tell you in the pregame show a couple days ago? What did I tell you would be the most painful way? The most painful way, pleasurable from a Seahawks perspective, that the Niners could lose this game. Their offense getting absolutely neutered.
Buffalo.
Taking their balls and neutering them.
We're doing this again.
And I'm not going to show fully what's in my hands over here, but these things, they were, we took the pointy end and we took care of business. I predicted 26-6. I want to apologize publicly to Mike McDonald. 6 points was far too aggressive. far too aggressive.
Yes, it was.
They put up 3 points. 3 points.
They did.
In the biggest fucking game of Seahawks regular season history. And I can say that because this franchise has never secured 14 wins in their history.
They've never had a game like this where the winner takes number one seed. So, like, absolutely. And Jeff, before we bring you in, let's get the newcomers in here. Dana O'Gorman, your first post-game show. Dana, how you feeling?
I want it stated that I actually watched the entire game without having to walk around outside, without having to take a break. Like, I watched the entire damn game. I want that on record. And yes, this is normally you guys' domain. So thank you for letting me come in for post-game.
Absolutely.
I really
appreciate
it. Really, I came here for just one reason and one reason only. I want to give some huge kudos to two people. Number one, Evan, because Evan said weeks ago, run the damn table. He posted it everywhere. He was constantly talking about it. No one bought it. We all kind of were like, oh, Evan, yes, we'll run the table. Sure as shit, we ran the table. And I can't believe it. It was so huge. Huge, huge kudos to Evan for calling that. And then number two is to you, Brian, because yes, I think it was yesterday. I was like, well, is Trent Williams going to play? I was hemming and hawing. I was a little bit nervous. And you were like, Dana, we are going to play much tougher teams in the playoffs. And I was like, really? Sure. Yes, we are going to play much harder. Because that was not hard. That was nothing. Mm-mm. The defense was amazing. That pick from Drake Thomas. I'm telling you, I was in pure heaven at a 13-3 game. It was amazing. Amazing.
So well said. Braden, your first post game, your thoughts?
Just an absolute masterclass to watch. I had just an absolute blast start to finish. I didn't feel like there was a slow start on either side of the ball. I mean, straight to it. Defense was taking over the game quickly. I was at the 2019 game against San Francisco when we got stopped on the inch-yard line. That win was just, it felt so good for so many reasons. And like, biggest win in regular season win in franchise history, could not be more excited going into the playoffs. Plus, it looked like Sam Darnold had his marbles all the way in his head today. And I mean, he wasn't out there making plays left and right, but he definitely wasn't throwing the game away, but doing what he asked. He had a couple scramble plays that just absolutely, you could not ask for anything better on that end. It's just the decision-making felt good. He was hitting checkdowns. He was going through the reads, swinging out to Zach Charbonnet on the end. Like, everything that I felt like I wanted to see to have confidence going into the playoffs, it was all there.
Jeff, brother. Man, we put in a lot of hours the last few years together on this. I think you were feeling a little concerned, right? Like, I think realistically, feel like a lot of folks were. How do you feel now?
I cannot feel better than I feel right now. We said it all week, Brian. What was the number one outcome that would be the best possible thing? And we said we need to do what the Ravens did to Brock Purdy on Christmas 2 years ago. I didn't think there was a fucking chance that they would do tonight what they did. When they did what they did to the Ravens, there was like, they were moving the ball down the 20s and they had some wacky turnovers and they kind of broke Brock Purdy's MVP campaign. To go out and punk them and hold them to 3 points and just basically bitch slap them the entire night on defense. And I don't know if I agree so much with Brayden. I don't know if I enjoyed every minute of that game because there was a lot of things that I not. We'll save that for later in the show. But
yeah,
big picture, that last drive where they just milked like 8 minutes off the clock, and they just went out there and punked them. They punked Kyle Shanahan, and we said, what was the best case scenario? They did what I thought was possible times 10. That was dominant defense. The run game was great. They should have won that game 27-3.
Absolutely.
And I don't care if the score's only 13. And frankly, like, Meyer shouldn't have even kicked the last one. They should have ran. They should have ran the ball there.
Brian. We're gonna shift the discussion away from my favorite kicker, who had a tough night.
That was.
They should have kicked the last one, but
they shouldn't have. I don't know why they did.
But Brian, I've got to tell you something because you were in person. Obviously, you did not get to see, the broadcast of this. But my favorite moment, Brian, from this entire game, was 3rd and 17 when the Seahawks were backed up. Yes. And K-9 converted on that toss pitch to the right side.
Yep.
The TV screen paneled to John Lynch in the owner's box, losing his fucking mind. It was the moment of the game for me. Yes. I truly believe it broke them. Yes. It broke them because there was a little bit of a momentum switch at that moment. I was like, could they climb their way back into this? That was completely humiliating.
Can we maybe get an apology from Jed York after this game? Is that coming? Maybe?
I'd like to apologize to Kenneth Walker. I mean, that was amazing.
I was going to ask you about that. Before we get there, I got to say this, guys. The amount of people, people is a generous term for 49ers fans, to be very honest, but the amount of people that came at me this week with Brock Purdy is 6-1 against the Seahawks. Shut the fuck up. Like, shut the fuck up. Brock Purdy's now 2-3 against Mike McDonald. And I'm telling you all along, that was a lot more relevant to what was going to happen in this game. And Brock Purdy looked like he had no idea how to play against this defense. He looked completely thrown by what they were doing. There was nowhere for him to go. And one of the things I loved about watching this game, I don't know how much it showed on the TV copy, there was no shifting or movement from the Seahawks defense pre-snap. They just sat there and stared him down. And he was like hoping, I think, to have something to, make a check to or change. They gave him no information. And then they just absolutely destroyed his offensive line. They're going to talk about Trent Williams not being in. Trent Williams' position was not the one. I looked at after three quarters, his left tackle, the left tackle, had the highest PFF grade of all their offensive line. The rest of their offensive line was getting their ass whooped. And Brock Purdy, he barely was able to get up at the end of this game, thanks to Derek Hall. So, you know what? This notion of Kyle Shanahan and Sean McVay ruling this division, that's fucking over. That is over. This is the Seahawks division. This is Mike McDonald's division. This is John Schneider's division. And you know who else's division it is? It's Sam fucking Darnold's division. Brock Purdy isn't hoisting the trophy, the division title. Matt Stafford, he's not hoisting it. I just saw the guys in the locker room, and none of them were wearing Rams uniforms or 49ers uniforms. So Mike McDonald's here to stay.
Brian. Daddy is fucking home.
Yeah.
The Seahawks are fucking back.
Well, and you know what? Like, look back at this season, guys. The 49ers had no business winning the first game when they had Bosa and Warner. The Seahawks were the better team in that game, too.
They were.
And they shouldn't have lost to the Rams the first time. They had four turnovers. It took a punt at the 1 yard line for them not to beat the Rams and sweep them this season. So I just want folks, like, as hard as this year has been and as many down moments as there have been, everything I just said is absolutely factually true. This team could easily be 16-1. That's not a stretch. You can make the case they could be undefeated, but that's probably pushing it a little far. So,
I just say this? Like,
yes.
How many rushing yards did they end with? Like
180 plus probably.
It felt like, I don't know what they averaged, but every carry, it felt like an automatic 7 yards. Yeah. Automatic.
I had fun in the locker room with a few guys.
Say more.
Talking to Anthony Bradford.
Okay.
Talking to Gray Zabel. Abe Lucas, as I'm interviewing Anthony Bradford, chimes in with, Anthony Bradford's a good fucking offensive lineman, and anyone who thinks otherwise is. So,
Gray Zabel said that?
No, that was Abe Lucas. And then Gray Zabel, I was interviewing him And I'm like, what's the deal with Anthony Bradford one arm slamming people? Like, he doesn't feel like he needs to use two hands to block. And he's like, if you guys could see the weights that that guy throws around in the weight room, like, he does things that nobody else can do. He's like, I can't do what he does. And people don't understand this scheme if they're criticizing him, because that guy's a great player. So now I know everyone's got feelings about that, but seeing Jalen Sundell and Gray Zabel sitting next to each other smoking a cigar, these guys were college roommates like 2 years ago. And now they are in Gray Zabel's first year, in Nicky Minwori's first year. These guys are the champs of the division. 14 wins. Future's bright. The present's pretty bright too. Jeff, what was your favorite moment in the game?
Last play of the game, fourth down. Derek Hall blows by that left tackle and smokes Purdy right on the side. And then Leonard Williams comes in and smashes his arm. I thought that play just summed up the game so well. They couldn't come close on fourth down. The other one was the Drake Thomas interception. That was like my peak.
Oh my God.
I thought we were going to blow the game. And Drake picking off that ball, it wasn't like the tip level celebration and like, holy shit, this is happening. But when Drake Thomas picked off that ball, I lost my freaking mind.
Guys, do you see the symmetry at all in that? Do you remember the 2019 game when the Seahawks were driving with Russell Wilson and a rookie, Dre Greenlaw, tackles Jacob Hollister at the half yard line to win that game? Wasn't exactly the same situation, but it wasn't super different either. Like, Drake Thomas, man, what a year. What a year.
I was told these.
Yes, I was told a lot of guys that it seemed to be pretty damn good. Play, man. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Dana, any other thoughts for you? I know you're planning to drop, but
yeah, I am. I'm going to head out. But yeah, I want to say this about the Drake Thomas interception. The awareness he had that the ball was even there was what was so fascinating to me, because it was, he was spinning backwards and it just like tapped his arm. And for him to have that awareness was just, it was just so impressive. You can tell that they have just been coached so amazingly. But I will say this, and then I am going to go, but I will say this. This Sam said at his press conference, he was talking about how, oh, the offense could have done this and they could have done this. I don't give a crap what the offense could have done. They did their job and the defense saved that game. It was beautiful. It was my perfect football game. And I have not been this happy in about 10 years. So I am just so excited for what we have ahead of us. And I think that we're all very lucky. I'm the first to admit that I was not thrilled about Mike McDonald. I will eat those words forever, because this has just been amazing. So
you don't have to eat anything, Dana. Like, oh, you know what? Like, there's plenty of people that had doubts. And the fact is, you never wavered on being a supporter of this team. So yeah, that's absolutely what matters.
Oh my gosh. Congratulations on the win, everybody. See you later.
Yeah, take care, Dana.
Can I share a photo that like is making the rounds on Twitter that I think like we just need to share? And I know you guys have seen it probably, but
while you're doing that, I'm going to say this. I don't know if people saw the tweet, but JSN was asked about Diamador Lenore. Yeah. And he's like, he fucking nailed it. He said, you know, it's hard to respond to all my fans. Oh my God. It was an all time line. What are we looking at? I can't see.
So this is the quarterback room. This is Sam Darnold with a cigar. This is Drew Lock with a cigar. And this is Jalen Milrow, I believe. I don't know if Jalen Milrow has a cigar in his hands, but let me see if I can zoom in. I don't even know if I can. That's so funny. But like, bro, can you guys see this? Like, Jeff, like, is this not amazing?
Wipe the smile off my face. It's just like that Darnold meme that Evan always drops in, or Josh always drops in, and he's doing the cigar thing. Oh my God.
It's just beautiful. I know you can't see it, Brian, but you'll see it.
I can't really see it. I'll see it later. I wish, yeah. We'll figure out how to get
the favorite play of the game.
Whew. Well, it wasn't the first and one play action pass at the 1 yard line.
Hold up. I have a take on this. That play design worked.
Charbonnet was open.
Charbonnet was wide open.
But they still should have run the ball. That was
Sure. No, but
they were like running the ball down their throat.
Sam Darnold, fuck up.
You're killing my ears, man. Sorry. I'm trying to turn it down, but keep it down a little. Say that again.
Evan's take was the play worked. Darnold screwed it up. I disagree. Kubiak put him in a horrible spot. You got to run the ball there.
You got to know that your quarterback has not been making always the best decisions in that situation. And you've been running the ball like crazy. You're going to need 1 yard. And you were going to go for it on fourth down anyway because you went for it later.
On the field.
Like, just run it. Like, why? What is it with the Seattle Seahawks organization that has something against running the ball from the 1 yard line? Like, just fucking do it. Like,
sure. I will say, though, that they stopped them after the screw up and they started at the 35. So the second drive that Charbonnet broke the touchdown run sort of negated that because they wouldn't have started a drive from the 35 had they not gone for it there.
Brayden, I cut you off. You're going to say something.
Well, it goes back to the moments where it's like we have 1 yard to go and we have AJ Barner, who's like the size of an SUV, and we don't just tush push it. And I believe that was right after the Lenore PI on JSN.
Yeah.
And so we're at the 1 yard line. If you can't tush push it with AJ Barner in four plays, it's like, do you even really deserve it? But with a guy of that size and with how successful that play has been, it just like makes me want to put my head through a wall that we're not just spamming it when we can.
Yes, agreed. And Jeff, to answer your question, honestly, I'm going to give you like an answer that's way off script, like not one of the most memorable plays for most people. I wrote it down in my notes and I can't remember exactly when it happened, but Robert Saleh sent a blitz off the left side. Kubiak had the perfect play call for a screen left to Ken Walker, and he went for a ton of yards, which happened a bunch this game. But I wrote in my notes, Kubiak got Saleh. And I did not write that once in the first game. Like, it just didn't happen. And as much as there were some, like, absolutely, like, what the hell are you doing moments, I loved Clint Kubiak's game plan in this. I loved the fact that he saw how this game was going and didn't try to get cute, didn't try to do double reverse flea flicker bullshit like the 49ers had to try to do and still could only get 4 yards on the play. He just ran it down their throats and controlled this entire game. The 49ers barely touched the football. So I think that's encouraging. I mean, yes, you'd like they should have had a lot more points, but they didn't need it. They didn't need it. And so that's the play that I'll call out.
Can I read off a stat that I think is noteworthy to share?
Yes.
So we obviously know the Niners defense has had some struggles and their defensive line is not the best in the world. So we're going to get that stipulation out of the way. But rookie interior offensive lineman Gray Zabel, in the biggest game of his young career, 32 pass pro snaps, zero pressures, zero hurries, zero quarterback hits, zero sacks, and the only Seattle Seahawks offensive lineman to not allow a single pressure in the entire game.
When I talked to him in the locker room, he talked about like there was a rookie wall and he feels like he did not play his best football the last few weeks, but you just got to keep pushing through it. And I thought he was pretty damn good tonight. He was out there again on a screen pass in front of K9. Like, I think the Seahawks guard play was pretty good tonight.
And he got called on a bullshit penalty that took away 4 points.
That was bad.
That was horrible.
It wasn't even close to holding. He like barely got in the guy's way. It had nothing to do with the play at all. It was bullshit. I felt like the refs were just trying to keep the game close.
You know who I think had a really good game that probably, I'm not sure if they talked about in the broadcast. I thought Eric Saubert blocked his ass off today.
Like, he did. He almost like really blew the game open when he couldn't beat Stout. And Stout made two insane plays to keep more points off the board. And I thought he was going to blow up Stout on that one play where Darnold made a really good play to get the ball off on a pretty heavy blitz to him.
How do we feel about Darnold's game?
Very professional. I think there was some goofy stuff in there, but overall,
Like he I got saw stepped, Grant, he got stepped on the goofy one.
I'm not going to blame him on that one.
Jalen Sundell got blown up on that.
JSN's wide open on the sideline, one of the second last drive, and he throws it way off, and it almost got intercepted that the guy's feet went way up. And then JSN on the crossing around one of the other drives is wide open, and he throws it high and behind him. JSN made an incredible catch that they showed on replay. It was a horrible. But I thought Darnold, like, after the Drake Thomas pick, they're at the 3-yard line, and that's a tough spot. And Darnold had a lot of third down conversions on that drive when they needed him to. Like the one, the quick pass to Kupp was really good. There was a pass over the middle to a key one. But the one he makes where he rolls out right, there's nothing there. He has to wait for Kupp to kind of slip away and separate.
Huge.
That's a huge play. That used their last time out, and that pretty much won the game for them.
That third down conversion to Kupp, is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
That was a huge freaking play, man.
That sealed the game, essentially. And even though they ended up turning the ball over on the doink from Myers, that play ate up a ton of clock and essentially won them the game.
There were a couple moments where Sam used his legs as well.
Yes, and he looked athletic using his legs. He didn't look like, what are you doing?
I mean, we've been used to him making catastrophic decisions in those moments. I think he's actively reducing. He's implementing like harm reduction methodology into like those moments where it's like, we're just going to make sure this isn't like the worst possible outcome.
Well, here's the thing, guys. Like the Seahawks, they didn't turn the ball over today, right? Zero turnovers?
Zero.
They still have yet to lose a game in Mike McDonald's tenure when they don't have a turnover. All right. And I think that, like, I talked about it before this game that I feel like there's been this metamorphosis going on with the offense that's kind of painful, but they've been becoming more running oriented, more possession oriented, and trying to put the ball in harm's way less. And I kind of feel like that's what this team might need to be to get where they want to go. Like, I thought this was a really professional, I think that's a great word for it, Jeff, a professional performance from Darnold. I'm getting some feedback. Is anyone else getting that?
Yeah.
No? Yes?
I am.
Okay, so maybe mute Braden if you're not. Yeah. I got to talk the other thing about this, guys. How do you feel if you're a 49ers fan right now?
Fuck them.
Like, what? No, I know.
Fuck them.
But think about this. Let's enjoy this for a second. How do you talk yourself through this game?
Just feeling how we felt after the Packers game last year, it's got to be way worse than that, though, because at least we were on the up and ups, and I think the 49ers got to feel like there's more age and things impacting their team than what Seattle was dealing with. I think last year it was like we were definitely on the uptrend, but I think the 49ers, like George Kittle's not going to be around forever. Trent Williams isn't going to be around forever. Fred Warner's getting older. I mean, he's still a great player, but the age is starting to hit. I think a lot of their key players are definitely getting older, whereas last year it was for the Seahawks, it was like, you know, at least there's still a lot of light at the end of the tunnel, but I think the days are just starting to get numbered for the 49ers and a lot of their star players.
I mean, I was, when I found out Ricky Pearsall wasn't playing, I was like, whoa. I mean, on one hand, you could say, hey, they didn't have Ricky Pearsall and Trent Williams. On the other hand, like, they often don't have Ricky Pearsall, and Trent Williams isn't going to be around that much longer. So this is the 49ers potentially going forward. And Brock Purdy was your big hope. And this is what he looked like against this defense, at least. So I don't know. I mean, Evan, like, Jeff, what's the cope mechanism going on for the David Lombardis of the world? What's he tweeting about right now?
Man, Jeff, have you been checking his timeline? I have not been.
I saw one where it was a classic Lombardi. He said the injuries caught up with them.
Yeah, of course. Of course.
He said the injuries finally broke them. And this is a week after he was tweeting out Brock Purdy's the best quarterback in football. Brock Purdy should be the MVP. You know what Brock Purdy's stat line was tonight? Brock Purdy threw 27 passes tonight for 127 yards. They did what they did to Bryce Young to this dude.
Exactly.
And Brock still pulled out some incredible plays where they were pressuring him. And it took, he had three or four, like the first field goal drive and then the pick. he had to pull some shit out of his ass. Like there was like a 3rd and 10 run. Yeah. And
yeah,
he made some pretty impressive plays, and still 27 throws for 127 yards. And it just didn't look anything like the last two games. They put up 40 points on the Colts. They put up, I think, 40 points on the Bears, and they couldn't be stopped. And they did. They turned this guy into Bryce Young tonight. And
McCaffrey couldn't do shit tonight.
Eight carries for 23 yards.
So much for his thousand season. Didn't do that.
And every time like they threw the ball to him in space, it felt like the Seahawks in the middle of the field were crushing him. I don't know if you could see this live.
Yes.
Earth Jones was so good tonight. Just his speed looked back. But anytime McCaffrey would get the ball, and he even even though the Matt Maffei tips that play, he just looked shook all night, McCaffrey. And I have not seen him look like that ever.
I don't say this lightly. I honestly don't. I thought about it during the game. I was like, this is an LOB level performance.
That's exactly how I felt.
This was an all-time elite level defense out there. And I think the rest of the world just is like looking at it going, oh shit. Like, that's a tough team. And you're going to have to go into Lumen Field to play that defense.
Like, there was a hit early in the game when they threw it out to the flat and Witherspoon just came up and smoked the guy.
Oh my God. And
that's when I was like, holy shit. The speed and the cockiness and the confidence. And it was right after Eamon Mori just like drilled them for like a 6-yard loss. It was other game ball tonight, Zach Charbonnet.
Oh, he was great.
They fumbled the ball up 10-3 when things were just starting to. And if Charbonnet doesn't fall on that ball, I don't know if they win the game.
It's a great call.
Yeah.
It's a great call.
That's two fumbles he's picked up that have been very important for the Seahawks.
Yeah, I mean, I'm like thinking about how many hard hits there were. This is the hardest hitting game I've seen from the Seahawks in a long time. I mean, even when there was one play where I think Ernest was tackling somebody, then Drake Thomas just comes in. There was a play where I saw coming out of a timeout, CMC tapped his own helmet in the huddle. And I was like, oh, they're going to hand it off to him. He's like getting himself prepared to like really set some, send a signal. And the Seahawks absolutely just smashed him. He ran as hard as he could. And it was like a 3-yard gain, but that's as much as it could get. Like, it was a brick wall. Evan, I'm going to ask you if you can help out here. I know we probably won't last much longer, but if you can get to some of the super chats, because there's people are giving their hard-earned money. I'd love to make sure we're celebrating with folks a little bit. If you can add those.
Yeah.
We won't probably get through all of them, but maybe a few of them.
Is this through the Rain Tree or the StreamYard chat? Is that the best
way to do it? Yeah, the chat. Go to the starred.
Oh, shit, dude. Chat. We got so many. Oh,
I know. I know.
Bro, we have like 77.
Wait. I know. We're not going to be able to do them all. Let's do like 10 or something like that.
Okay, hold on.
And I apologize for folks that did it. Like, we'll...
Okay, hold up.
I will tomorrow morning, I promise. We'll do another show, and I'm happy to... answer as many super chats as possible.
Tree Lord Gohawk says, hope you are safe and having a good time. Screw the Whiners. We absolutely punked their offense. Super Bowl bound. Book it. Sending a let's fucking go from Texas. Go 12-11. Acosta. Love it. Best offense in football was almost shut down. Let's freaking go. I don't want to say almost shut down.
Yeah, they were shut down.
They were shut down. Detail oriented for all the Sam doubters. How you feel now? That's our QB. Let's fucking go. Three more wins, baby. Three more wins. Cold ones. We're in the driver's seat, 14-3. Payback for 2019 is so sweet. Purdy can eat shit. Daniel Holdos, we love it. He can eat shit. Pasty Troy says, I watched fourth quarter of Rams game and this one from a baggage claim. LAX in Manila. Anyone want me to fly me somewhere for the next game? That's so funny. You may want to be not traveling during Seahawks playoff games, by the way. I know it's a long shot to get him on the team, but should you find a way to bring Crosby to the first playoff game to let him? Oh, we're going to skip that one with peace and love. Hope this is okay. Let's fucking go. Alaska is behind you, Seattle. Love you, Brian, and your entire team. That's very, very kind. Lalo Prime 12 says, surrounded by annoying ass 49er fans at B-Dubs in San Diego. Seeing them leaving brought me so much joy. Couldn't be more proud of this team. I hope to join the 12s up in the Pacific Northwest. Vamos. I love it. Bosswork 302 says, a lot of frauds exposed tonight. Fake fans, teams that are hollow contenders, critics, and talking heads. But most of all, Sam Darnold doubters.
Let's Can you pause for 1 second there? Yeah. I've got video and photo footage that I cannot wait to post when I get back to my laptop of the faithful and the empty fucking seats in this stadium during the game. Not at the end of the game, during the game. That's they did crazy. Not fill their own fucking stadium for a game for the number one seed. What the fuck? Like, the faithful? Are you kidding me? Sorry. Go ahead.
No, you're great. Speaking of captured mementos and sharing them, we heard a rumor that somebody's making a video on Monday morning and posted it. And I think he tweeted it himself, so I'm not breaking news here. But I heard a rumor on the street that Cable Thanos is making a return. The legendary Cable Thanos, Josh Cashman.
We're back. We are so fucking back. We're so back.
This is something to look forward to. So if you don't follow Josh on Twitter, you're gonna want to search him up. Let's see. This defense is special, not a 2.0, something different. They call themselves the Dark Side. I think that's what we heard tonight on the broadcast.
Dark Side, Death Zone, yeah, like all that stuff.
Love it. Colin Lundstrom says, crab time never felt so good. I love it. More crabs. Bang, bang. Yep. I love you, 12s. You're funny. Thank you for dealing with us while we were using Canadian internet for that. My computer failed. Sam used his legs. He did.
Yeah, he did.
David Slaw donates 20. Thank you, David Slaw. Boxblind 04 says, let's fucking go, Hawks. Great game, all phases. Just wish Myers would have. Nope, we're going to skip that one. Mr. Bill 1957, remember when Vegas had them with 7.5 wins? I had a so you guys know Nathan from Nashville?
Yes, yes.
So I was watching the game with him tonight. He bet 350 on the Seahawks to win the NFC West.
Let's go.
July. And he cashed out like 2,800 tonight.
Let's go. Good for that guy. 20,
and I want you to know, there were points in the game where he was like, do I cash this out at 1,900? And that dude rode through it and was like, I'm seeing this bitch till the end. So
I'm surprised you guys were nervous. I was annoyed, but I was like, I don't think the 49ers can win this game.
They're not beating Philly, by the way. Zach Schwartz, here's $20, Zach. I love you. Please Venmo it to Lombardi. He seems to need it. Thanks for an awesome year, Brian. Yeah, I mean, he doesn't want to donate to the hungry. So,
well, just in case people don't follow me on Twitter, I announced I'm going to be making a donation to both the San Francisco and a food bank in San Francisco and one in Seattle. If Lombardi won't do it, I will. So I got you covered.
Brian, any run-ins tonight? Any interactions?
Actually, I was getting tacos. I was waiting in line for tacos. No, it wasn't tacos. It was halftime, and they had these little meatloaf sliders. I'm telling you, the food here is amazing. And I turn around, and there he is.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, do I say something? And I'm like, nah, I'm just going to let him sit with this one. So I did see Grant Cohn. He was pretty – he was like – you guys are absolutely dominating us. And I'm like, yep, that's how it works. So one other like little thing. This game was over to me before it started because of two things. One, those uniforms were so much stupider than I thought they would look in person. They were awful. Two, you know that stupid thing the 49ers do when they get introduced? They come back, like Trent Williams holding the big, like, you know, radio and the beatbox, and they're like, you know, dancing. Kendrick Bourne was at the front of the line as they came into the stadium, and I'm like, they're so done. Like, Kendrick Bourne is the guy leading you onto the field. You are fucking done. And they were all right. Maybe a couple more, Evan, and then we can wrap up.
We're almost there. Fam, yes, let's go 12s. What a time to be alive. Hearts, Dana, Crab Dance. What else? You have little faith. We are the team to freaking beat. This is a big donation, $100. Amen. Worry is the future. A Browns 47, the face of NFL toughness. Thank you guys for a great year of coverage and talk for this memorable year.
Not over. We just can't start.
You're right. Many more $99 donations.
We should talk about Amen Worry for a sec.
Yeah, let's do it.
I mean, how good is this guy?
The NFL is insane for letting Mike McDonald get his hands on this guy.
Yes. That's such a good way to put it.
They are clinically insane for letting that happen. That's all I have to say.
It is nuts. That dude didn't go in the first round.
He is a absolute physical specimen and seems to absolutely blow up anybody that ever tries to block him.
Can I give another shout out?
Yeah.
I thought Reek Woolen had an awesome tackle early in the game in space.
Yes.
And there was a huge play where, like, I think it was second down and long. And then you have the guy isolated right on Reek. And like, I'm like, Reek is going to miss this tackle. Like, and he blew the guy up and he celebrated and he almost picked the guy early. I thought Reek's tackle, I just thought was so emblematic of the turnaround he's made.
That was such a great call out, dude. How many tackles for loss has Reek had in his career? Like, pretty rare.
Lyle Morris says, I just wanted to say I love Brian and the whole crew. It's been my weekly therapy processing celebratory session. Thank you for everything you do. Go Hawks. We love that, Lyle. That's very kind of you. Cold One says, balls chopped. They've been neutered.
Oh, man.
Chinhawk 5150, bang, bang, what gang? I love that. Ransom Cornwall says, go Hawks. I love this show. Thank you, Ransom.
All right, one more?
Okay, hold up. Two more. The number of times we've gotten a first down the last few games on 3rd and 15 while running the ball has been insane.
So did you do a Nate Tice stat on this?
No, share it.
I think there's been 4 times this year where teams have run the ball for like 3rd and 15 and longer and gotten the first down. Seahawks have all 4.
Yeah. Yeah. Pittsburgh, Rams, last Carolina, week. And today.
Yep. That's nuts.
Okay, so I'm going to pick one more, and it's going to be maybe my favorite comment. Here we go. Will Fries, Daddy's home. Those arrogant Niner fans can kiss my bleep. What a terrible fan base. But enough hating. This is about love for the Hawks' defensive performance. Masterpiece. And Thomas with the play of the year so far. I'm assuming that's referring to the interception. Amazing. Yeah, one more comment on Reek. Reek has turned it all the way around. I hope we extend him. I mean, man, he's making a case for it. I love this team. It's just awesome. So many folks. Appreciate you guys.
Sorry, are you reading one more? Okay, got it. All right, so we've talked about this so many times, but I can't even express, honestly, how good it feels to not only be able to celebrate with all of you guys and all Seahawks fans and how many people that like really deserve this, man. Like it's been frustrating and we've been through like all sorts of stuff and to get that, but to also have it knowing that 49ers fans are in misery and like that fan base deserves that so much. Like, it's like the best possible combination. It's peanut butter and chocolate. It's the best, man. I cannot wait to go back to my bookmarks and just read all of them from 49ers fans. It's going to be great.
They were talking a lot this week.
A lot.
I can't believe we're here, guys. Number one in the NFC. NFC West is ours. We've got a couple weeks to relax. Get Charles Cross back, get our boys healthy. And it seems like we came out of this game relatively healthy, by the way.
We did. And you get Cross back. Like you said, you get Kobe Bryant back. Yep. And guys, I mean, is there any temptation to come out for the NFC Championship if they win the next game?
Oh, if they have an NFC Championship game, I'm going to Seattle. No doubt.
I mean, the Super Bowl, anyway, yeah. We'll take it one week at a time, but unreal.
So wait, can we just go, before we go, can we just clarify one thing? So the Rams play who tomorrow? Do you guys remember?
So the Rams play the Cardinals.
Cardinals, yeah.
And if the Rams beat the Cardinals, who do the Niners play in the first round?
It depends. It depends on whether the Eagles win and the Bears lose.
Okay. They play each other?
If the Bears win, they're the two seed, and the Bears play the Packers, and the Eagles would play the Niners.
Okay.
If the Eagles are benching their guys, but the Bears play the Lions tomorrow. So I don't know if I don't know what the Lions are playing for. Maybe to just mess the Bears up, but that's no gimme. And so I want ultimately the Eagles to play the Niners. I think with the Niners' defensive issues and seeing the Eagles just run the ball down their throat, I think that'd be a pretty good scenario to knock out the Niners.
Yeah.
If it's a Bears Niners playoff game.
I don't want the Niners to get knocked out. I want the Niners to come to Seattle.
Yeah, at this point, maybe.
Yeah, well, I mean, seriously, are you kidding me? Like, you don't want to see that team again? Give me that team again. I don't care if they have Trent Williams back and Ricky Pearsall back. Give me that team again.
We will.
That defense? Are you kidding me? Let's go. Like, yeah, I'll probably find a way to root for the 49ers against the Eagles if it comes to it.
Jesus. Yeah, that might be the better scenario for the Seahawks at this point. Because you'll want one of the 49ers or the Packers to win. Because if the 49ers lose and the Packers lose, you might be playing the Rams. So I think there's a pretty good case that you want the 49ers to win.
I don't know if you guys can see this. It's going to be behind me. Can you guys see that in the background at all? Those people getting a picture taken?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those are all the Seahawks personnel who do video and audio, and they're coming out in the field to get their picture taken. I love it. I love it. This is our field.
Did you guys see John Schneider's pit stain?
Oh God.
Take it easy on our GM. I
could feel what he was doing. He's doing like that in the
draft. Let's see your pit stains there, Simmons. I bet you had some pit stains going on.
I was with John on that one. I was with him.
When they're driving down the field and it was a 13-3 there.
Yeah.
I was nervous as hell.
I'll just say this. My favorite clip from the entire game is John Lynch throwing.
Oh, so good.
Like you can hear him, like you can read his lips, like, what the fuck? How did this happen? That is a moment I will treasure for a very, very long time.
Guys, we're going to watch football tomorrow and next week. Like 2 weeks before our next Seahawks game, and we just get to like sit back and watch.
I love hate watching. Like I'm gonna next weekend, I'm gonna throw a party. Like it's my ideal life.
Yeah, frankly. I think Brian's right though. I think we do want the Niners to win next week.
Right? And again, like the Rams are gonna play either the Panthers, maybe I think I'm kinda hoping the Saints win because I think the Bucs are a tougher team for the Panther for the Rams to face. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Maybe. I don't know.
Panthers beat.
I know.
That's not
Man. It would be great if the Rams lost. It's probably not gonna happen, but I'll take it. All right, guys. Closing thoughts. Braden, you go first.
One thing I wanted to say earlier was seeing Kenneth Walker be able to get an inside zone, hitting the hole at 100 miles an hour. That dude is lightning fast still. I mean, all of the talk of he might be slowing down or whatever, he was electrically fast today. And pairing him with Zach Charbonnet finding his footing the last few weeks, I mean, and the entire run game, there's a full 1-2 punch going in Seattle, and it's scary for anybody that's in the way.
We can be anyone at any time, at any place. We are the team to be in football. We are the best team in football, and I am scared of absolutely nobody.
Let's go.
I cannot wait to watch this team play again.
I'm so happy to hear that, man. Welcome to the side of belief. Like, this is, if people aren't all in at this point, I don't know what you're waiting for, man. Like, this is the team. Jeff, go ahead.
All freaking year long, these advanced nerd stats, DVOA, kept telling us all Seattle was the best team in football. And no one wanted to believe it. Sam Darnold hadn't beaten anyone good. That the Rams were better. Sam Darnold's going to choke. They can't run the ball. All year long, the stat kept telling us. And then Mike McDonald put his freaking stamp on the whole league. I'm here. I'm going to knock and bitch slap the 49ers at their home field. Jason McCourty had a tweet during the game that it feels like there's 15 Seahawks defenders on the field. That's what it felt like. Seattle is the best team in football. When they can run the ball like they did tonight and play defense like they did tonight, no one can beat them. There's not a team in the league that can beat them when they play like that. And so they showed who they are tonight. Again, they made it harder on themselves. They could have won that game 27-3. It's kind of like the Houston game where they kept shooting themselves in the foot in spite of looking far better than a pretty good competition. All week, everyone talked about Brock Purdy, Brock Purdy, Brock Purdy. They made Brock Purdy their bitch. So that was awesome. If you want to doubt DVOA or anything like that, I think this game was the stamp to show this team. We got to stop making excuses now. This is the best team in football.
I love it. I mean, it was just last year I was standing on this exact same field and Evan was smashing pumpkin pie into his face after the Seahawks finally got the monkey off their back, beating the 49ers. And back in 2013, they just started allowing, you know, Seahawks license plates in Washington, state of Washington. I got one and mine, well, at the time, at least it was NFL best. And that had seemed appropriate at the time and not so appropriate for many years since. And that's who they are again. I think every other team in the NFL looks at what the Seahawks team is and understands that they're going to get a hell of a game when they face this team. And that defense, if you can't find love in defense from a team like this, I don't know how you can watch this game, because that is 11 guys just running around like absolute banshees. So
there was,
go ahead.
No, sorry. I totally cut you off. Continue.
No, go ahead, please.
I was just going to say, there was a former leader on this team who left the Seahawks and reflected on it by saying the grass was greener on the other side. It's not. The grass is greener in Seattle.
Is that the guy who's about to be cut by a 2-16 team?
No, it's actually not. It's the receiver.
The guy that's suspended for a win and go in game.
Get eliminated from the playoffs tomorrow.
Just to be a little bit of a petty bitch, I had to throw that in.
I'm not shocked that came to your mind, but yeah, I mean, it's a special time to be a Seahawks fan, and we're going to enjoy the hell out of this. We're going to enjoy the hell out of this as a crew, as a fan base. I'll be back tomorrow with a show. I don't know exactly when or who will be on. You guys have been with me this whole time. We've been through some really rough times, and we finally got one, guys. We finally got one. This is one to really really rally behind. So love you all. Love you all. Love everyone tuning in, and have a great rest of your night. That'll do it for this edition of A Real Hawk Talk post game show. I'm Brian Emhauser. Take care, everybody. Seahawks are the best team in the NFL.